Jan Kumasa, hi. We're here to speak about your first English language feature, Good Boy, also known as Heel. There are a lot of Good Boy films around at the moment, so they had to change the title a little. Which title would you personally prefer?
Well, I prefer Good Boy, honestly. I think Good Boy was the original title, and we felt Good Boy works on many levels. You also say Good Boy when the dog does something well, and you want to pat it, and you want to comfort it, and say, Good Boy, Good Boy. Well, it's in line with what this film is about. It's about training process, re-education, sort of like. I would love to prefer Good Boy, but then we learned about other films titled Good Boy. The American producer changed the title only for America. So it's Heel in America.
Speaking of dogs, actually, the main character becomes a kind of Pavlovian dog. He's turned into one by a family that kidnaps him and then tries to forcibly condition him into the submissive version of their supposedly lost child. Your film features on themes of classism, also of class aggression, of social tensions. We have toxic masculinity actually presented in a very interesting way. We have here a conflict between the wealthy middle class, intellectualist, academic, and the working class, which shows young offender who lives like a hard-partying life, aggressive, he's vulgar. The cliché portrait of the middle class and also a very negative cliche of the working and underclass. So I wanted to ask, how much is that intentional? And how much do you actually have researched the middle and the working class?
I worked a lot with, in my previous films, on this topic. For example, Corpus Christi was mostly in the small village, rural people, mainly working class background. I don't come from the working class. I come from the pretty middle class, artistic background family. My dad is an actor. I lived for my whole life. I lived more in the working class district of Warsaw. To a certain degree, I can use my empathy and empathize, obviously, but I'm not working class myself. With Good Boy, we had, in the original script, we had Tommy coming from a super working class background, with the father who's a drunk and the mother who's like, they're both drunks, they're horrible. Our scriptwriter comes from almost like a working class background. So he wrote it as a working class boy being kidnapped by an upper middle class couple. What I did with the script is I changed it. When we were researching it in Britain, first we went to the working class districts in Manchester and then in Leeds, because that's where we got the money from, regional funds. And then I realized it's not actually great for the film to make Tommy craving a comfort of being in a more wealthy background. Not the point of this film. That's why we changed it. It was the very last addition to the script. When we started shooting it in Warsaw, we started with Warsaw part of the shooting, because the whole house is built in Warsaw in the studio, and the last part is in Britain. Even then, we still had the working class, you know, brick houses. I would say Billy Elliot type of background.
Billy Elliot is also a fictional film that doesn't show an accurate portrait of the real working class. It's a nice comparison, but just make a little note.
Yeah, I don't know about this, because I'm not an expert. That's why it didn't ring true to me. So what we did was, I told the producers that I don't feel the working class background at all. And they said, like, then what do we do with this? And I said, like, why don't we move Tommy to something I know, which is like small housing, middle class Britain. And we went to this middle class neighborhood in Britain, in Leeds. That's what we did. So Tommy is middle class Yorkshire. That's the background of Tommy. So the difference between Tommy and the family is smaller than it was originally. And that was one of my additions as a director, to move him up the social ladder and make him more middle class. So he's middle class. His mom is middle class. There's only one scene with him being with his mom. It's a normal middle class Yorkshire house. We changed everything. We found a different mother. Also, Tommy, you know, his casting, Anson himself comes from a middle class family. He's using the accent. He comes from the north too, so he's using the accent of what he knows. So it was, if anybody in the film is sort of using the working class background, it's Stephen Graham, who is originally from Liverpool, and he's using this weird mixture. I'm Polish, so I can only trust them that they did it well. This weird mixture of accent that he kind of tries to cover for the whole film, his original Liverpool accent with something something more posh. He said it's a common trait for people to want to sound more posh. That's why he says, for example, he overpronounces words like appreciate in terms, you know, despite appreciate and stuff like that. So he changes the meaning. What I did was actually to move away from working class because I didn't feel it. I didn't want to make this film about classes.
Well, what's still there is the theme of forced rehabilitation. The film presents sadism and physical violence as a form of tough love that is ultimately to the person's benefit. At least we cannot deny that there's a strong social difference between them. And the film presents this aspect of forced rehabilitation as something that's ultimately beneficial. I was quite disturbed to see the audience apparently agree with that and strongly rejoice in the scenes of torture. Did you intend them to be enjoyable? And do you think that rehabilitation has to be, in quotes, tough to be effective?
You know, I'm a parent myself, and I would never hit my child. Never. I've never done it. Violence is not the answer. So this film, to me, was, honestly, it was the shock element of this film. If there's any responsibility for art to do anything, art shouldn't never be propaganda. Art should be provocative. It will push you away from your comfort zones. I always loved artists who were doing this, like Lars von Trier, you know, Alejandro Jodorowsky, you know, artists like this. So Jerzy Skolimowski, who was the producer of Good Boy, his cinema was this. He always pushed boundaries and he was provoking, you know, check our boundaries. He sent me Good Boy and I felt, oh Jesus, this is crazy, provocative, even unacceptable film to a certain degree. I liked it. I liked what this film was doing to me because it was checking my boundaries. And I felt if I do this, I have to be bold about it as a creator. And even I had to take into account some people will totally receive this film like you received it. And I had to just embrace it and take it as face value and say, like, it's going to be provocative. It's going to be rough around the edges. It's going to probably evoke some absolutely uncomfortable questions about liberty versus acceptance and love and comfort, violence versus care. This is what probably at the core of many provocative works of art, like 1984 is all about it. It shows a person who fights with the system, the person loses, and at the end, the person loves the big brother.
That is a very different story, which is highly critical of this system. That is, in some degree, the opposite message, because I'm the minority in seeing these aspects of the film a little more critical. The majority of people, and also the majority of reviews, is highly positive and says, finally, a film that shows that we have to be tough with these young criminals. And in the end, these young criminals will thank us if we are just, like, really putting our kids down. And in a neoconservative era, and I think you're very aware, and both in Germany and Poland, in the US, everywhere, that conservatism and reactionism and autocracy are proliferating. These ideas of violent rehabilitation and violent punishment are embraced. It's not as provocative as one might think. It might be provocative to people from the working and underclass like me, because we experience this middle class aggression on a daily basis. So it's not so pleasant to see it celebrated on film and sit among an audience that also celebrates it. But to the majority of people, this film is very comforting because they are like, finally, somebody who says like it is.
I see this. I have no control over the moment the film is, you know, released to the public. I'm very surprised by the reception of the film. This is something no director has any control over. Like, your control ends with the last cut and you're hoping that people will get it, like get what you wanted. But at the same time, if someone gets it differently, you have nothing to do with this, unfortunately. Like, you have everything to do with this because you provoke them to think about it. So there is a certain responsibility, but also there is also a responsibility of something that is uncontrollable. So as a director, you just give people A, B, but people come up with C, D, E. Like, they continue your thought and they end, you start the sentence, but always the person who watches the film ends the sentence. I provoke people I start an alphabet that is way away from my comfort zone. I write very weird black letters of the alphabet. And if people cling, like, they catch on and they're like, yeah, 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 this is how it's supposed to be. It's more about the society and people and where we are in. And that's why I think this film is meta. Like, this film is meta. That was from the very beginning, it shows two different types of aggression and violence. It's kind of like me watching two people fighting on the street. I'm not with any about you, like any of them. I just watch them. I would never absolutely embrace what Chris is doing and what this crazy, you know, family is doing. And I would never embrace what Tommy is doing as a hooligan. And toxic masculinity, of course. But there's also toxic femininity, because Catherine takes over the house and she's also manipulative and she manipulated. So they're all in a way toxic. I would say your approach is the healthiest to reject this film, and I agree with you.
I mean, I'm not totally rejecting it. I just find it important to discuss these aspects.
Yes, but in like it's a, and there is a question of like philosophy. If your moral philosophy rejects what Chris is doing, what Tommy is doing, then what's left for you as a viewer of Good Boy? And I think there's still your own self-moral compass that is enough for you to be a viewer of Good Boy. And if you embrace that this film is very 98% different from you, the 2% reveal a certain truth about you. So this film, I treat this film as a litmus test. And I did it with The Hater too, my other film. These films are being shot from a very distant place, from myself. And I always provoke the viewer, and I love to watch people say stuff like, oh, I hated Tommy from the beginning. I you know, it's good that Chris, maybe he was using too much force on him and maybe it was too violent, but it worked. And I, you know, and then I love to see people totally decompose it in a way like, oh, of course it's not real. You know, Chris doesn't exist. They're from the 70s and 60s. Even TikTok is seen on this television set. So it's not real. Obviously, it's in Tommy's head. And that's true also. That's how we developed it as a fairy tale that never happened. And then I started to work on those characters to make them real. Nobody knows of them.
You also have some amazing cast. How did you get Angela Riseborough, and how was working with this great cast? Also, Anson Boone, who gives an amazing performance.
I was happy to hear from them even before, a little before the film, because many actors and actresses watched my Corpus Christi vibe, even before my Suicide Room that I came to Germany with in 2011 for Berlinale. Actors and actresses, they watch a lot of films. They reach out to me or through my agents just to say, hey, I liked your film. If you have any project, we would like to work with you on it. So with Steven did read Good Boy. His agent told him that there's this film and it's by Jan Komasa. And Steven said, oh, the guy from Corpus Christi? Yeah, it was the same guy. And he said, I'm in it. I want to work with him. So he said yes before he read the script. And then he read the script and he was like, all right, okay. If Jan Komasa wants to make it and Jeremy Thomas and Jerzy Skolimowski is involved, they see something in it. And he trusted us just the way I trusted Jerzy Skolimowski when he reached out to me. So it's like a chain of trust. But we were way away from moral comfort zone when we were making this film.
The film has a lot been compared to Kubrick, especially Clockwork Orange. Where does some certain inspiration?
One of the first books that they gave Tommy was Clockwork Orange. That was the first book they gave him. And Jeremy Thomas, the producer, told us, well, we shouldn't impose on the viewer the interpretation of the film by giving so direct hints. So we got rid of Clockwork Orange. I watched Clockwork Orange probably 10 years ago. So I didn't want to go back to it. I haven't read the book though. Maybe it's definitely different in the book, but I haven't watched the film. I didn't want it to influence me. Same thing with Parasite. I didn't watch Parasite. Parasite has a class division. That's what I know. But I never tried to explore it. I didn't want to be inspired in the wrong way. My problem is that probably if I see something, I repeat it. So I don't want it to get in the way. So we were conscious of those works of art, but I didn't want to impose them on the viewer too much. So they were in the air all the time. People kept talking about it. It's still in a different place than it was originally.
Now that you had this great English language success, would you like to go on working in English or go back to working in Polish?
Both. I hope my next film will be Polish. Actually, I did those two films in English because it was easier for me to make a film in English. Politically, it wasn't as easy to do films in Poland over the last couple of years for many reasons, also economic reasons for my cinema. In Poland, Polish cinema became much more commercialized and much more safe. In Britain and, you know, in different countries, it's much easier to make a film that is international and difficult. I would love to make films in other languages too. I treat films like traveling. I have also German projects in mind as well.
Then we will certainly looking out for that. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you, Lida.